I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
You're listening to the Talking OTC Commodities podcast series, brought to you by the Global Commodities team at EEX Group.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michael Mervyn-Jones, and welcome to episode 7 of Talking OTC Commodities, brought to you by EEX Group. Today, we're talking biomass, and I'm delighted to tell you that I'm joined by a veritable smorgasbord of experts from the biomass space, including our very own Rob Seehauer, Senior Business Developer at EEX, an all-round champion of biomass. Rob, perhaps I can ask you to introduce our panel of experts today.
Yes, welcome everybody, and I'm very happy that I'm joined by Justin Tate from Enviva today. He's got a very interesting and very important role at Enviva as sustainable professional. And with us is Daniel Kjestrim from Ørsted. He's the biomass trader, so I'm very happy that both are with us today.
Cool. Okay, well, let's go straight into it. Rob, I'm going to come to you first. Just for the listeners that aren't familiar with biomass, can you briefly explain what it is and what role it plays in the energy mix?
Yeah, I think I'll do that with pleasure, because I think it makes a lot of sense in order to just categorize and put that into the right perspective. Biomass is part of bioenergy, which consists of three components, to make it more easy. One component is obviously biogas, which is gaseous. The other component is biofuel, which we can consider as liquid. And the third component, that is biomass, which is solid. And woody biomass, which is a residual of low-value wood, is used for production of heat and power. To keep costs as well as transportation-related CO2 emissions down, these low-value residuals can be pelletized to enable global transportation. And therefore, there is a global market for these pellets to help in the energy transition away from fossil fuels. Sustainable harvested pellets replace fossil coal in the energy mix and can step in as dispatchable commodity when wind and solar do not deliver enough energy to the consumers.
Okay, now EEX launched wood pellet futures as a paper contract without physical delivery for OTC registration. When was that, and why did you go down that route?
We launched the product as we believe in the energy transition towards renewable energy. Biomass is a storable and dispatchable global commodity, and is one renewable energy source which builds a perfect bridge between wind, solar, and hydro. We designed our offering in conjunction with market participants and opted for a combination of all strength. A financially settled contract that is settled against the Argus Index and facilitated by brokers does offer the best setup to build up this emerging market. Obviously, one had to be first to initiate all, and I'm very happy that EEX took the responsibility to go ahead in this market.
I mean, in your opinion, what needs to happen to really integrate biomass into the mix of renewables?
I think that's a very key question. And the biomass market grew quite a lot in the recent years, with an average rate of around 20% in terms of annual volume, production and consumption. But there's also, and this growth basically allowed more people or more players into the market. So there's a growing number of players into the market. The boat is big enough, and there are even more players invited to come and join this market. Because if we want to replace coal and enable renewables into our energy system, there's more capacity even required. So the structure of the market also needs to advance. So it's getting more and more complex. We have actually the tool that copes with the increasing complexity by de-risking the sector. And it's in the interest of all market participants to secure a profitable price level and to have financially healthy players being active in the market. A sustainable product as biomass also requires a sustainable market.
Well said. I mean, biomass accounts for more than 50% of renewable energy supply by source in Europe, which is more than, I think, hydro, wind and solar combined. Nevertheless, the sector is often criticised and attacked in the media. Justin, perhaps I can bring you in here. Enviva is one of the biggest producers of biomass. So why is that? Why is it attacked in the media?
Yeah, fundamentally, I think it's because of a basic misunderstanding and perhaps limited knowledge of how the forest products industry works. So whether that's in the Southeast US, where Enviva operates, or in Europe. I think that's also coupled with the fact that criticism often comes from organisations and individuals that only focus on the biomass sector of the industry without consideration of the bigger picture and that bigger forest products industry. So if I think of a couple of examples there, firstly, we often hear that whole tracts of trees are harvested and used for bioenergy. And this is just not simply how it works economically. What we see is a naturally occurring economic cascading as a result of the market. So if I'm a landowner in the Southeast US and I have a tract of trees, I'm going to harvest that tract and merchandise it, sell it, based on the highest value markets available. And so my nice, big, tall, straight, strong trees, I'm going to go for saw timber, for housing construction, for example. I may have some lower quality material that is more suitable for the pulp and paper industry, for making card and paper. And I may have some hardwood understory that's not suitable for either of those things. And alongside the harvest of those higher value materials are also the tops and limbs and that come from those higher value trees. And that material alongside any residuals from the harvest are perfect for using for biomass and making into wood pellets. A second kind of criticism that you often see talked about derives from the debate over whether biomass should be treated as a carbon neutral renewable source of energy. Woody biomass is carbon neutral. So long as the carbon released when burned equates to the carbon absorbed during growth. So if there's a continuous cycle of removals and growth, whereby the forested area and therefore the carbon is stable or increasing, then there's a net carbon benefit. And this is certainly the case in the Southeast US, where only 2% of the forested area is harvested, while the remaining 98% is in various stages of regrowth. And of that 2%, that's the whole forest products industry we're talking about there. Biomass represents only about 3% of that small number. So it's a small part of a much bigger, well-established forest products industry.
Hi, it's Daniel here from Ørsted. Just had a comment or a question, kind of. As you explained, Justin, the biomarket is pretty, it's technical, it's advanced to understand for a normal person. Do you have any ideas how we could make it more understandable for an average person to explain the benefits in a very easy way? Is that something you work with?
Yeah, I think that's possible to do. And I think often that's about telling the story of what happens within a forest and a working forest in the context of, for example, how does that work in Germany versus the US or in Denmark versus elsewhere in Europe. So I think telling the story of how it happens on a regional level so people understand the benefits of that industry to their own economic sectors is a good way of telling the story. But I think also you need to include the benefits that working forests bring for things like biodiversity and the opportunities to protect certain ecosystems, but also to guard against things like wildfires and pest and disease control and the role that sustainably managed forests can play in that. So I think it's about telling a holistic story of a forest products industry and the sort of range of benefits that can bring, rather than only focusing on one sector of that industry and then only focusing on one element, for example, the suggestion of whole tracts going to bioenergy.
question. There's a question that I wanted to bring up, because one of the misconceptions that I'm sure you've been faced with, I've certainly heard it, is that cutting a forest is the same as deforestation. Yeah. So how do you increase visibility and transparency? Coming back to what Daniel says, how do you increase visibility and transparency to disprove this statement?
A good question, Michael. But let's be clear that deforestation occurs when forests are cut and not regenerated. So this is not what happens in the areas that Enviva sources from, or from working forests in generally. I mean, you just have to think about that for a little bit. If all you did was cut and not regenerate, then the industry, forest products industries would not survive. You have to have a continually growing resource to be able to have a thriving industry. In the Southeast US, it's clear cutting is a forestry practice, a well-established one for generations, but as is planting and natural regeneration following that type of harvest. So as Enviva, we do this through our track and trace system, which is a system that allows us to track and trace all the fiber we source from each individual tract of wood. And using the information that system provides and coupling it with data from the Forest Inventory and Analysis Program of the US Forest Service, we can monitor forest health. We can show wood supply maps. We can show data around the sourcing areas and what's happening to forest inventory.
Is it open, transparent for the public to see those figures? Because that would be a huge benefit.
Yeah, so for sure. Track and trace is a system that anybody can go into and via the Enviva website and look at the dynamics and data relating to the regions that Enviva.
Yeah, that's very good.
And as is the FIA data itself, so the USDA Forest Service. So the data that we use and show on through our track and trace system certainly supports the fact that the healthy market that we see for forest products, including biomass, is certainly contributing to the health of the forest, and it's contributing to an increasing level of inventory and stock within the Southeast US.
I think that's a very good point, because when I was reading about it, it's Robert and Justin. Thanks for also for the questions, Daniel. I mean, I think that is an interesting point. Maybe you could shed some light for me personally. You're saying that due to the sustainable management of forests, you even enlarge the carbon sink, basically. You grow more forests and you have a higher quality of the forests, which basically absorbs CO2 from the atmosphere. Is that correct?
I think biomass plays a role within the larger industry of creating a market for forest products. Now, if there's a market, and particularly like somewhere in the Southeast US where land ownership is 80% of land is held privately, there's a freedom of choice there for those landowners to do what they will with that land. So if there's a healthy and robust market for forest products and including biomass, then that is an incentive for those landowners to continue to keep their land within, in forestry. So to replant and to carry on that cycle of removal and regrowth, and have systems in place to think about high conservation value areas and the protection of fragile ecosystems. And I think that is an element that helps protect and develop the idea of certain parts of a forest or certain species need to be protected and should be. And I think having a sustainable forest management approach takes that into account. So I think that is another contribution that it makes to achieving some of those aims that you mentioned.
Okay, so Justin, I mean, I'm right in thinking that the price point of biomass is pretty high. Do you think that steep price point limits its potential success?
I think the thing to remember here is that climate change is the greatest social and economic challenge of our time, which we all know. Protecting forests is critical to meeting our climate targets. So we believe that by helping energy producers to reduce their emissions by using wood as a carbon neutral fuel, we're able to contribute to tackling that challenge. It's a win-win for the climate, energy production, and the protection and growth of forests. So to me, the cost of inaction is actually far greater. So no, I don't think that the current price point should limit its potential. As for making comparisons with energy produced through other means and fossil fuels and other renewables, I think it's important to take into account full system costs. But that's an area I'm going to leave to Robert to talk more about, because he has a much greater expertise in this area than I do.
Okay. Well, listen, before we go back to Rob, I mean, Daniel, I'd like to bring you in here now. You guys are working for a company which was awarded the title of being the most sustainable company in the world by a very impressive index called the Corporate Knights 2020 Global 100 Index. Sounds very important. Anyway, the company aims to be carbon neutral in 2025, and that's 25 years ahead of the European Union. How has your job changed over the years and during the transition period away from coal and other fossil fuels and towards renewables?
Yeah, well, it's been some kind of very exciting journey, actually. But to start off shortly about where I work, I started at the company called Dong Energy. It's Danish oil and natural gas. So that's pretty much the opposite of where I'm working now. At Ørsted, we have exited from most of our business within oil and gas. And we're now focusing on offshore wind. So we're one of the major players in the world, actually, on offshore wind. And the market has also broadened. We have the UK market is huge, and we're now in the US and Asia as well. So the company has turned it's turned around completely during the last 7-8 years. And it's been really exciting to be part of that journey. But we also have different markets. I come from the Nordic power market and CO2. But now we have a lot of trading in the UK and in the US. So that has changed a lot. And now also we are starting obviously to trade the wood pellets as well. It's an important thing for us for our power plants to be able to be as green as possible. And the biomass is obviously much better than coal, so that suits us well.
Justin explained already how important transparency is for Enviva in biomass procurement and production. How do you, as a biomass trader, aim to increase transparency? What are your experiences in these other markets? You know, you've told us just now that you know you have actively worked in other markets. Did you see the same levels of maturity?
My background within the Nordic market, for example, is that two things are important. You have to have a reliable spot price to trade around. You have to rely on what you're trading. And the second thing is the Nordic power market was historically very keen on trading on the exchange, so to speak, to clear the trades. Because if you clear the trades, you can see what's been trading, you have numbers to analyze, and that makes the market more transparent.
Which brings me sort of onto my next, question. I mean, what kind of market would you wish for to reflect the full biomass potential? I mean, do you favor more products over liquidity or vice versa?
Yeah, I've been trading the CO2 market as well. And if you compare it to the CO2 market, it's much better to have liquidity in one product. If you go to the CO2 market, the liquidity for the front deck contract has always been good. And when that is a contract you can rely on and trade, you obviously can trade around that with doing spreads and so on. So I would definitely prefer a contract that is one contract with liquidity. So in this case, it could maybe be the front month or something like that. So if you got a price for the front contract on the wood pellets market, it would obviously be easier for traders to take that and see, okay, what should the spreads be for the curve, to trade the curve as a whole.
Okay, thanks for that, Daniel. I mean, Rob, coming back to you now, what are the motives of EEX to be involved in the transformation process towards renewables?
So it is obvious that our climate does change and did change in the past and will change even further if we do not reduce the carbon emissions now. I think that's also has been a very good said by Justin. And I'm convinced, and so are many other colleagues at EEX, that we are in the top position to even enhance the transformation process away from fossil fuels towards renewables. And I'll tell you why. Around 40% of Europe's CO2 emissions are coming from the power sector. Another 40% roughly are coming from the heating sector. On the power side, the decarbonization was already started in 2005 by setting up the EU ETS and the market Daniel was just referring to, where EEX was present from the start. Still, we do have not achieved a complete coal phase out because it's not so simple. However, EEX is in a position to integrate all renewable energy sources market-based so that each renewable energy source play its part where it's most efficient.
Which brings me on to my next question. I mean, we, EEX, launched the wood pellets contract, I think it was 2018, right, about 2 years ago. And there's many reasons why we did that, because we wanted to be a champion of this product. But looking to the future, from an exchange perspective, what do you think it's going to take before we see a really successful biomass, well-functioning market with good liquidity?
Let me answer this this question also with another question. How do you define a successful biomass market? I mean, actually, from my perspective, the market is successful and delivers great results to everybody when fossil fuels are phased out and fossil CO2 emissions are reduced. By the design of the power market, we do have a setup which already affects, which already is efficient, because the power production with low costs is favored over inefficient power production with high costs. A transparent market price delivers that signal. When the biomass market adapts to the setup, delivers its potential in terms of stepping in when heat and power is needed the most, so when wind and solar cannot deliver, I consider this as successfully done. It doesn't matter. I think the success is when biomass is completely and fully integrated into the mix of renewables.
It's also been a success, you can say, in Denmark, because we converted a lot of coal here to biomass. So that's, I mean, it's ongoing. And the strength of the wood pellets is obviously that it could be a base load of power production that could replace coal. That's very good. And the second thing, also a large thing that could be changed, is the district heating industry could be start using pellets. So I hope it's going to be a success.
Okay, so there we have it. Thank you so much, guys. I think that all panelists raised some really interesting insights today. And thanks also to you, our listeners, for, listening. If you'd like any further info on EEX's biomass products, please visit www.eex.com or feel free to email me myself. My email address and contact details are all included in the episode notes. Until next time, stay safe and thanks for listening.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.